Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes, lift your hands and say it with me.
Oh,
There's something about the name of Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. That when you're in distress, there's something about the name of Jesus. And when you call out his name, you know that it's some comfort coming your way for the comfortless. When you call out the name of Jesus, you know that you can expect peace to be worked out in the midst of your war times, and you know that there's some answers to be coming to your situation when you're troubled and you need to just hear from God. It's just something about it that if you don't receive anything immediately, it's just something about calling out his name. You know that he's already on it. You just need to know that he's still with you. You just need to know that I can call his name. That's just like a child in trouble. Even a grown-up, as far as that matter. You just every now and then have to say, Mama. Because you know if Mama knows that you're in trouble, Daddy, if Daddy knows that you're in trouble, and if they can get there any kind of way that they can, they're going to snatch you out of the midst of that pit that you're in. So that's what we do when we call out the name of Jesus. We call him out for help. We call him out because we know he loves us. And we know that if he knows that we're in trouble, that he will snatch us out of those snares that we've got ourselves trapped in. So I've come to remind you tonight that he knows. He knows exactly what it is that you're going through. He knows that the battles that we have set ourselves up for sometimes. He knows that the battles that when we're on the right road and enemies, the wrongness come and affect some of the things that go on in our lives. But I come to remind you that he said his word we can trust in. He said that no weapon that comes against you shall prosper. So remember, troubles may come your way, but they won't prosper. And don't you give over your prosperity to your troubles. Hallelujah. We have to realize that we are going to be faced with challenges. But God has a way out for us. And in the meantime, we have to continue to get ourselves through whatever it is and find a way to continue to live in love. That's a challenge for us, but we can do it. We are his people, and we can do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we invite you to come and present yourself to us. We invite you to come and just inhabit the praise that we present to you tonight. We thank you, dear Father, for all that you are and all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. And may we open our hearts and believe that we may receive our instructions and just your presence and your peace and your comfort. And may this word take us through another week. And we just may we spread it on to somebody else who's in need of your love, because we all need you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. The call-in number is 646-652-4916. I see you, caller. God bless you. We will be opening up a chat room. And if you want to speak, just let us know. We will try to get that fit in for you also. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person that is here with us tonight, the ones that are going to join in archives. And I just pray that for each and every one of your needs. And I continue to always want to thank you again for just being obedient and just reaching out. And when we do the salvation prayer and we ask that you tell someone, and I just thank God for you that you're reaching out, saying, Evangelist, I just want to tell you that I prayed that prayer with you. I just want to tell you that I have reached out, and I've been telling others what God is doing for me and what I just not for sure which way I'm supposed to be going or what I'm supposed to be doing. So I accept your prayer with me. I accept you to intercede in my life. And those things are so important, and you just don't know the big steps that you're making in your life, not just for you, but for your children and your children's children will reap from the rewards of what you're doing right now. So keep on doing, keep on pushing, keep on praying through. And for all of you that get in touch and you reach out and you just say that I'm trying, I'm still not there, I still can't find my way to get through this anger, I still can't get my way through this forgiveness, but I just wanted you to know to keep on praying for me that I'm not giving up on me, and I know that God's not giving up on me. Those are the most important things to know. Just to open out your, outstretch your arm and your hands just to say, I need help. I continuously need prayer in this area. Because the enemy wants to fool you into thinking that you're never going to get there, that you're never going to be able to forgive, that you're never going to be able to love, that no one is ever going to be able to love you. But I remind you to continue to do what you're doing. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep reaching out. He has called me and you to be there for someone's life. Keep on doing what you're doing. Repent of your sins. And let God be the leader. Just keep on trusting in God, even when you feel like that you should be at a higher place, that you should be able to get over things more easily. Just keep on doing what you're doing for right now where you're at. Keep on asking for prayer. And most importantly, don't you forget to pray for yourself. Don't you forget to pray for yourself. We as Christians, we don't like to admit it, but most of us as Christians are faced with challenges. Challenges to show some of this love to the unlovely. So we speak about that we must love through situations. But most of us as Christians, we find it a challenge as it comes to the point that we are to show the unlovely that we are still able to love them. The great command to love our neighbors is not limited to people that we naturally take a liking to. We spoke about that on our last show. It's easy to love those who are willingly to love you back. Oh, it's easy to love the lovable. But our challenge comes when it comes to the ones who are naturally not willing to be loved or receive your love. And they make it hard for you. And as Christians, we in this world are being watched as we demonstrate to the people that are watching how to love the unlovely. Hallelujah. We also spoke about just how is the people in the world have got ourselves into a situation where it's all about us now. We want to be first. And just because you have become a Christian doesn't mean that you are free from being selfish and having been stored up with so much pride that you can't get to where you need to be. Because as you look around you, that's what most of the people in the world now are doing. So lots of Christians are also fighting this battle of pride, of selfishness. 1 John 3:18 reminds us, it says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with actions and in truth. You want to show love to someone, you got to do something. It's more than just saying, I love you. You have to do something. It's an action word, and you have to get busy showing the love. Jesus showed us how to really live for others. He gave us all the glories of heaven so that he could be born in the most humble of circumstances to show us the way to living the unselfish life. Inherently, we are born selfish. It is only by the works of the Spirit of God in our eternal parts that allow us to live for others. But we were born selfish. Here's the test, straight to the point. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions, and sees his brother in need, but has not pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Again, dear children, speaking to us, let us not love with words of tongue, but with actions and in truth. 1 John 3:16 through 18. Again, it's just saying simply, the only way that we can love like this is because of the work of the Spirit, working on our own spirit, working on our own attitudes, and working on our own selfish actions. The fruit of the Spirit is the bottom line. It's really a harvest for others. Booker T. Washington once said, he says, I will not permit any man to diminish my soul to hatred. You know, in the practical application of truth, we come not to discovering how the rubber hits the road. In the nitty-gritty world where we live, regardless of another's actions. But we must be concerned about our reactions always, how it reflects the fruit of the Spirit in the real world. So I ask you to ask yourself during your self-examination. Number one, am I patient? Instead of looking at and say, those people around me make me impatient. Because of what they said to me is why I became impatient. So not of how the world is around you, the people in the world that's around you, but I ask you to ask yourself, am I patient? Am I kind? Am I normally a kind person? You said, yeah, I am, you know, as long as I'm, you know, you don't catch me too early in the morning. I'm just not a morning person. So I'm not kind in the mornings. Others may answer and say, yes, I'm kind, as long as I've had my coffee. Yes, I'm kind, but, you know, I do have to eat regularly. If I haven't ate, I can tend to not be kind. Am I a kind person? Not according to what the situation around us dictates. But generally, are you a kind person? Are you a patient person? Am I generous? Not am I generous once I have my cup is overflowed. Not am I generous once I have given to all of those that matters to me. And then if I have anything left over, I'm generous. Am I a generous person? Am I humble? Does pride block me from asking for forgiveness? Am I humble? Can I admit my faults and be willing to grow in those areas? And am I humble? Am I courteous? I know courtesy goes a long ways. Am I courteous? Can I move myself aside and be courteous to you? Can I allow you to come in line in front of me? Am I courteous? Am I good-tempered? Am I good-tempered? And I find from time to time that people often may think that they are good-tempered. They may think that they do have the answer to this one here. And then until others bring it to their attention, and then sometimes the response may be, they just don't think I'm good-tempered. And they just don't think because I'm not going to let them use me that I have a bad temper. Or because I'm going to speak my mind, then they say that I have a bad temper. But I don't have a bad temper. I just tell it like it is, and I don't care if I hurt your feelings. But maybe we don't know the clear definition of being good-tempered, because all of those things that as you say those things represents that your answer should be no, that you're not good-tempered. Regardless, of what another person's actions may be. Are you good-tempered? And too many of us will likely give a negative answer to such questions once we put it to the point and say, regardless of the circumstances around you, are you still humble? And again, once we present it just like that, and if we're honest and truthful, too many of us, will be likely to give a negative answer to such questions. Let's make our way through another word study. And this time, from the practical pen of the Apostle Peter, who learned many life lessons on how to live and also on how to apply the truth of the Spirit-filled living. As we finish up our tonight's lesson about love, our 1 Corinthians 13 love, I invite you to read 1 Peter 3, 8 through 18. Just go ahead and take a moment and look at that. Again, it's 1 Peter. So in the New Testament. And then we're going to do chapter 3. And let's just start at verse 8. And we'll read through 18. Okay? Starting at verse 8, it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, courteous, not returning evil for evil or revealing or revising or on the contrary blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. That means you just can't tell it like it is. Love. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? I remind you to go into the archive and take notes and try to live this on a daily basis. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Let's pick up continue the word, shall we? Verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not fret nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is within you, and with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that one day they defame you as evildoers, those who reveal your love and your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And then verse 18 says, for Christ also suffered, once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That was the reasoning for it. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Again, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. We are the unjust. He's the just. He suffered for us. He's the just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God. That was the reasoning behind all of that. He who was sinless, he bore our sins, that he might bring us back to God. Being put to death in flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Made alive by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And then ask yourself as you go back through, to whom is Peter addressing this portion of the word? And please don't overlook his use of the phrase, all of you. All of you. We have to look at ourselves. People look at different things differently. But what does live in harmony with one another? What does that mean to you? Live in harmony with one another. Others may ask, is it really possible to live in harmony with people who don't agree with you or who might even dislike you? And yes, it is. You don't have to try to make everybody think the way that you think or change their mind. You just keep doing according to the word of God. And sometimes you're going to agree to disagree. But that shouldn't stop you from being able to live in harmony with one another. That should not stop you from being able to feed your brother when they're hungry, to give a positive word to them. That should not cause you to turn away from them when they call you to come and do something for them. They need a ride to church. I'm not going your way. And then you say, well, I dare they call and ask me for a ride to church. After they said, they know we don't agree about this or that. We've got to get beyond that. It's so much more bigger than that. It is really possible for you to live in harmony with people you don't agree with. Even the ones that don't even like you, that dislike you. There is possible. Keep on speaking to the person. Don't turn your nose up or try to pretend you don't see them. But keep on loving them anyway. Loving them anyway. Love your sisters. Love your brothers. Learn how to be a part of a compassionate group of people. Be compassionate. In other words, that word be is still an action word. Act with compassion in your heart. The Bible is the best contemporary on the Bible. We don't need you to, God doesn't need us to input ours. Well, I don't think God would have wanted us to forgive them in this situation. I don't think God would have wanted us to show compassion on them once they said this or that. The Bible doesn't change, and the Bible is the best contemporary on the Bible. Therefore, I encourage each and every one of you to take some time to just write out the relationship between repaying or not repaying insults with blessings. Just take out some time and write out the relationship between repaying or not repaying insults with blessings. So if someone insults you, instead of you repaying them by insulting them back, what would make a stronger relationship? Maybe it's the one that says what? Repaying them with blessings instead. And forgetting about us looking like a fool or what people may say. I thought she would have came back and cursed them out. Forget about what people may say. Remember, we're going to live eternity with our Father. And people don't have a heaven or hell to send us to. But if we allow them, we can make the choices. We can allow them to discourage us so much that we live a life that will send us to heaven or hell. we have to remember. It is the love is something that we practice daily. So how do you plan to put the practical living, the truth of love, into your life? If you're a married person, you need to write down just how you plan to implement this kind of 1 Corinthians 13 love into your home. If you're single, write down a plan. How do you plan to implement this kind of living in your relationship? On your job, with your kids, with your family, with your friends? Have you ever made a statement similar to this one? Okay, I will forgive, but I will never forget. I will love them only because I have to love them. We need to learn to go forward to a new page in life. As we step into our next lesson, which is the lesson of forgiveness, we're now engaged in one of the most exciting aspects of the love that we just covered. And that aspect is the spirit of forgiveness. To forgive or not to forgive, that is truly the question. Bearing a grudge may be the heaviest of all the burdens to carry, which are known to mankind, is bearing a grudge. How many people's heart is destroyed because they just cannot allow themselves to forgive? I remind each and every one of you that the challenges of life is not easy, but they are doable. All things are possible if we just trust in God, if we give them over to God. We have to stay in prayer about it. And so many times we just immediately want to jump up and do what we think, say what we want to say. So we don't take these things to Christ. Oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we just do not carry everything to God in prayer. You say, well, God doesn't have time to worry about me on my job. God doesn't have time to worry about me and my spouse on this silly argument or disagreement. So you sit there and your blood pressure is raised, and now you have a headache and all these different ailments because, oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And then when we carry it to God in prayer, we have to leave it there. If I need you to babysit my child and I take my kid to you, and I walk in your house with my baby and all of the supplies that we bring, and then I turn around to go on my job, and I turn around and I take all of the things that I bought into your house, I carry it back to the car with me, and I show up at my job with all of these things, and then why should I be surprised when my day doesn't go the way that I planned? The owner of this company is upset because I now have bought in luggage. I bought in my kid. I bought in all of their supplies. And you say, well, I don't understand why he doesn't understand. I carried it to the babysitter, but I ended up bringing it with me. And that's the way we do. We said, but I go to prayer and I pray about it. But you didn't leave it there. So then you end up bringing it back with you. You leave the altar and you bring it with you. You went to the altar heavy laden and you leave there heavy laden. And then you're trying to work it out for God. You're trying to do this here. Well, maybe this will make it work. Maybe if I hit on it, maybe if I push it, maybe if I yell, maybe if I scream, maybe if I cry, maybe if I change partners, maybe if I change jobs. We still struggling with these things. We're wrestling with it. We're trying to figure it out. Leave it there. Someone needs to just say it right there. Leave it there. Give it to the Lord and leave it there. Take all your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And leave them there. I thank you, Father, for giving me that opportunity. He's given it all to each and every one of us. Take your burdens to the Lord and just leave them there. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. You can bring your burdens to me and we will pray about them. But I'm not the final answer. I can join in prayer with you over and over again about the situation. But when you take your burdens to the Lord, every time that the enemy tries to put it back in your mind and try to tell you, what are you going to do? Say, I already did it. I've already did it. It's done. It's done. What am I going to do? I'm going to keep on living. And God's going to reveal to me the direction that he wants me to take from here. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to keep on reliving that situation. What I'm not going to do, I'm not going to keep on telling everybody I see about what happened to me, woe is me. Because they don't have my answers. And what's going to end up happening, they're going to add their opinion along with my troubles, and then I'm going to end up in a world of trouble. The enemy says, what are you going to do? I've already done it. I've taken it to the Lord, and I've left it at the altar. I've left it there, and I've given it back over. So as we close tonight, remember, yell out the name of Jesus. Because you know that when Jesus knows that you're needing him, that you're calling for him, he responds. He responds. It's something about the name of Jesus. It's something about the name of Jesus. It's just the sweetest name that I know. And I know that he's there for me. And he's just waiting patiently in line for you to call his name. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, please repeat after me. Father, God, I know that you gave yourself in the form of your son that he may give his life for me, for my sins. I believe that he is the only way back to you. I accept you in my life, Christ. I am a sinner. Come and wipe my slate clean. In Jesus' name, amen. I will see you tomorrow night. This is Evangelist Von Dillman signing off. Saying it's something about the name of Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Good night.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.